if you guys would, go ahead. We're going to be back in John chapter number 20. So your Bible should already be creased for that chapter as of this morning. So John chapter number 20. And we're going to be in verses 24 through verses 29. It is a familiar passage of Scripture for you all. But this is something that has been on my heart for, I say, about a week now. Our kids are in the middle of their homeschool, and they have a program that is very well known, and they, every single day, Monday through Friday, for about 6 hours a day, sit and listen to a teacher, and they learn their arithmetics and their letters and all of those things, but there is a time of Bible study in this program. And they are faithful to teach the Word of God. But I had a little bit of critique this last week from one of the lessons that were being taught, because it was being taught over Thomas. And it essentially portrayed Thomas as rebellious, in the sense of Thomas said, "Unless I see it for myself, I'm not going to believe it." And instantly, the Lord started to convict my heart and teach me some things about this portion of Scripture. We know by the name in which, or the moniker in which we give Thomas, is Doubting Thomas. So many see this portion of Scripture and they associate Thomas to this overwhelming doubt that unless Thomas was able to see Jesus, he wasn't going to believe, and that he was just going to become rebellious and flee the faith. That's not what I see whenever I look at this portion of Scripture. There's something else in Thomas's heart that I would like to draw out for your guys' attention, because I believe you and I often come to the same place as Thomas. Not that we say, "Lord, unless you show yourself to me, I'm not going to believe." That's not what I mean. But there is something deeper in the heart of Thomas that we need to draw out for better understanding of the way you and I operate, the way you and I approach the Lord Jesus. And that's the desire this morning as we preach through God's Word. So like I said, we're in John chapter number 20, starting in verse number 24. The Bible says, "But Thomas," and let's get a backstory of this. So Jesus has resurrected. John and Peter have approached the tomb because Mary has gone and said that they've taken the body of Jesus, that he's no longer laid in the sepulcher. And so John and Peter, they approach the sepulcher. John looking in, but had not gone in first. Peter going in and realizing that, yes, they had truly, the body of Jesus had truly vanished. It was gone. And obviously, not understanding fully what has taken place here, they have believed that someone has taken his body and placed it somewhere else, or taken his body and have disposed of it in some way. Though they should relate the fact that there is a massive stone that they place in front of that sepulcher, I could understand, and I could relate to the fact that whenever I come to a tomb and I don't see a body that was laid in that tomb, there would be some things that are disconcerting to me. And as they approach the tomb and as Peter goes in, they realize that Jesus' body is no longer there. And Jesus then appears to Mary Magdalene, and Mary then goes and tells of the account. Now, they are all gathered together, the disciples, and Jesus appears to them and tells them, "Peace be unto you." And he lets them know exactly what is about to happen. They are going to receive the Holy Ghost. But Thomas isn't there. Thomas isn't there whenever Jesus first appears in that room. 8 days later, Thomas is with the disciples. And this is where we pick up in verse number 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see.'" If you want a title for the message this morning, it's right there. It's "Except I shall see." Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you would help us as we preach your word to understand it. Lord, that it would help us to understand your character and your love for your people. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach it, Lord, to preach what you would have this morning. Lord, that we would take your word, we would rightly divide it, and that we would preach it with boldness and confidence. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Except I shall see. One of the beauties of the Bible is the fact that Scripture does not hide the weaknesses of its heroes. We see it with Moses. We see the failure of Peter. We see the persecution that Paul enabled. We see the failures and the weakness of the heroes of our faith. And the Bible does not discriminate, and it does not hide that from us. And that's one of the things about Scripture that brings such joy to my heart, because I know me and I know my failures and weaknesses. So whenever I can go to men of God that God has used in the testimony of their life, and I realize that they are also but men, but God is still God, and God still uses weak, feeble men and gets himself a testimony in glory. The Bible does not hide the weakness of his hero, of its heroes, but Scripture tells us the truth about men. It tells us the truth about men who loved God, men who followed Jesus, but men who still struggled to believe whenever darkness fell. One of those men is Thomas. And this morning, that's exactly what I want to show you, is what God has laid on my heart about this man that we call Doubting Thomas. We've labeled him that, Doubting Thomas, but I'm not convinced that doubt was really the issue. As I look into this portion of Scripture, I don't even believe that Thomas was faithless. It wasn't until the end that Jesus told Thomas, be not faithless. It was after he touched Jesus, after he saw Jesus and was able to thrust his own hand into his side, that Jesus came to him and admonished him, now, Thomas, don't be faithless. It was an encouragement to Thomas, that Thomas, I am who I say I am. You now have seen. You now have encountered. You now have a testimony of your own. Now be not faithless. See, Thomas wasn't faithless. Thomas was desperate. He didn't want a secondhand story. He didn't care about the others that had seen Jesus and told him about it. That's not what Thomas needed. He was desperate to see him himself. He didn't want the borrowed encounters, and he didn't want a borrowed faith. He wanted it for himself. He wanted Jesus for himself. He didn't want the testimony of others. He needed Jesus for himself. But we see in Scripture that Thomas was not with them whenever Jesus first came. This wasn't that Thomas was apostate. It was that Thomas was just absent. See, Thomas wasn't gone forever, and we know that because Thomas came back, and 8 days later, Jesus reappeared. He wasn't gone forever. He just wasn't there in the moment that Jesus came. And sometimes the greatest pain in the life of the believer isn't rebellion, but it's the absence of the Lord Jesus. Everyone else had seen the Lord. Everyone else had joy. Everyone else had peace. But Thomas didn't. He had not seen Jesus. Imagine that. Thomas had spent years of his life following Jesus and his ministry and watching the miracles of God and had seen Jesus being taken to his death. And now everyone else is saying that they've seen him, that he's appeared unto them, that they have a personal testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. And he's being told all of this encounters and all of these testimonies. And he was like, no, I need it for me. Thomas didn't have the peace. He didn't have the joy because he needed a revelation of Jesus Christ for himself. How many believers know that feeling? You love Jesus. You followed him. You've left things for him. But suddenly everybody else is rejoicing and you feel empty. You see everybody else's life. There's joy, and there's peace, and there's temperance, and there's the fruit of the Spirit because they're walking close to the Lord. But in your life, there seems to be an absence. There seems to be a distance. Thomas didn't walk away from the faith. He just missed the encounter with Jesus. He wasn't an apostate. He just wanted to see Jesus for himself. John 20:25, it says, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of his nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. For you and I, if we just read over this portion of Scripture, this seems harsh. It sounds even unbelieving. It sounds cynical even. But it was honest. It was honest. It was an honest faith. He knew who Jesus was. He followed him. He was in the room with the other disciples 8 days later. He hadn't left the faith. But it was honest. Do you realize that you can be honest before the Lord? You can come to him with honesty. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, my faith is suffering. The Lord would rather have a broken man crying, show me, than a polished man pretending that he's fine. Psalm 62:8, it says, pour out your heart before him because God is a refuge for us. And look what happened. Then came Jesus. The door is being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you, in verse number 26. 8 days later. 8 days later. Thomas had said, unless I see him for myself, I'm not going to believe. And 8 days later. Could you imagine those 8 days for Thomas? How many of you have prayed that prayer? Lord, please. Please, all I want to do is just see you. I just want to see you. And then day one goes by, and day two goes by, and day three goes by, day four and five and six and seven. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. Jesus had already risen. He had already appeared to a multitude of people. It would have been just fine had Jesus not come back 8 days later, because many had seen him. Many had the testimony. He's risen. He's risen, Thomas. He's risen. And Thomas goes, unless I see him for myself. But Jesus already had the testimony of his resurrection. So many others could have gone forth and told everyone else that Jesus is risen. It's true. But what did Jesus do? He came back for one man. It's exactly right, Brother Carl. He came back for one man. He came back just for Thomas. Verse 27, it said, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I want you to notice something. Jesus did not rebuke Thomas at first. He didn't rebuke Thomas for saying, Lord, I just want to see you. I just want to see it for myself. I'm so tired of the testimony of everyone else. I want to see it for myself. He didn't rebuke Thomas for that desire. He didn't shame Thomas and say, "Oh, Thomas, how dare you not believe me?" He didn't say, "How dare you doubt me?" But what did Jesus say? He said, "Come here. Come close. Touch it for yourself. Touch it for yourself, that you might also be not faithless." Those same wounds that purchase your salvation are the same wounds that he invites us to examine. It's not sinful to want to see Jesus. It's necessary. We have some misconception about whenever we approach the throne of God that is sin to say, "God, I just want to see you. My faith is lacking and suffering." There's some misconception that we have to have some strong and bold faith to enter in and come before the presence of God. That's the furthest from the truth. It's not weak to want to touch the scars. We look at Thomas and we say that he's doubting Thomas, but it wasn't weakness. He just wanted Jesus. He wanted to know for certain that the one that he followed, that they say has resurrected, is real and true. That he isn't just laying in a grave somewhere else, that they've misplaced him, or someone else has placed him somewhere else. He wanted to know for himself. It's not wrong to say, "Lord, I need you to show yourself to me." It's not wrong. Prior to my conversion, I was staying in a house in Terre Haute with some other guys that I had played football with. And one night, I was just tired. I was tired of all of it. I was tired of the parties and all the things that were happening. I was sick and tired. And I got out of my bed and I knelt there and I said, "Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me." That was my prayer. And you guys, many of you know that testimony already, that he didn't show me right then and there. It wasn't some audible voice, "Matthew, I'm real, I'm God." It took months. I came back every once in a while to my grandmother's house, and on Sundays, she would come to church. And I would come with her hit and miss every once in a while, but I sat underneath the preaching of God's word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I sat underneath the preaching of the gospel, and God started to convict my heart, and he brought faith. He brought faith. And I believed him, and I surrendered, and I said, "Lord, you're real. You're real, my Lord and my God." It is not sinful to approach God that way. It's not sinful to say, "Lord, if you're real, show me." It may take 8 days before he does. But it's not sinful to ask him. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, that his wounds, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Those wounds that Thomas saw were not a sign of defeat. Imagine that. Jesus still displayed the piercing of his hands and the piercing of his feet and the piercing of his side whenever he appeared to Thomas. Why? Because he wanted Thomas to know, "Thomas, this is not defeat. You have no reason to fear. I am resurrected. I am who I say I am." They are proof of love. "Thomas, come here. Thrust your hand." Was not an admonishment to Thomas, but it was love. See, the risen Christ didn't erase his scars whenever he appeared to Thomas. He displayed them. He displayed them. Thomas didn't need a sermon. Convicts me, if I'm being honest with you. He didn't need some sermon. He didn't need some new type of theology. He didn't need some new type of preaching. He didn't need an argument over theology or soteriology or doctrine. He didn't need to argue the facts of the matter. He needed a Savior that he could touch. He needed a Savior. And then what happens? Verse 28 says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." One encounter with Jesus settled everything. Settled everything. He just needed Jesus. He was so tired of everyone else telling him the matter of the facts. He needed Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's going to come a time in our life. It doesn't matter about the sermons and the theologies and the doctrines and all of these things. And these are things we guard. Don't get me wrong. But there must come a time in your life where you go in your heart before the Lord and you say, Lord, I just need you. I don't need secondhand testimonies anymore. I don't need sermons anymore. I need you. I need you. That one encounter settled everything. His desperation led to revelation. Oh, that we would see men desperate for the Lord Jesus. I mean, really desperate. I mean, really desperate. There is a reality. There is a reality in knowing Jesus. It isn't just church. It isn't just sermons. It isn't just theology. There is a reality in knowing Jesus personally. Personally. He had a revelation of Jesus. Honesty led to worship. It's one of the things that I don't understand fully, because I know in and of myself there are times of pride. There are times of self-sufficiency. There are times that I think I can do this on my own. And God reminds me quickly. And what do I have to do? I have to go honestly before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I need you. I'm desperate for you. And in the life of Thomas, touching of his scars led to surrender. For me, as I study Scripture, this is me speaking. It is the deepest confession of any disciple. See of any of the disciples in the Gospels. He was a man that wanted proof and then gave the strongest proclamation once he received it. He wanted proof that Jesus was who he says he was. And Jesus didn't come to rebuke him. What did Jesus do? He said, okay, Thomas, here I am. Come here. In verse number 29, it says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, Jesus says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's a blessing for us. What a blessing it is that we have Scripture, the totality of Scripture right before us, that we can possess this right here, that it reveals the living God by His living Word, that we can know Jesus personally. This blessing is for us, that we have not seen Jesus with our own eyes and we have not physically touched Jesus with our own hands, but Jesus said, you're blessed because you believe Him, yet you have not seen. You're blessed because you believe yet have not seen. But that does not mean we cancel longing to see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean? It's twofold. Blessed are the pure in heart. But what does it tell us? We shall see God. The reality of the Christian faith is that God is still available to the believer. That we can still see him. It's real. And I know I say that week in and week out, but that is my encouragement to the church, is that Jesus is real. And he wants to know you and you to know him. There is reality in what we're seeing in Thomas. David said in Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. A lukewarm faith is dangerous. Being distant from Jesus can be deadly. We were never meant to live off of stories and testimonies of others. That isn't the reality of the Christian life. We weren't meant to live off testimony and stories of others. We were meant to know Jesus himself. So my encouragement is this, church. Please hear me. My prayer is that this church never settles just for religion. As of this moment, there is encouragement whenever I walk through those doors because I know that you know him. I've seen him in your lives. There may be some among us that do not, but I've seen the majority of the testimony of your lives, and I know that you know Jesus. Don't settle for religion. Never settle for religion. We need presence. We need the presence of God. Don't settle just for theology either. See, he was told by others, Jesus resurrected. Jesus appeared. He was told the testimonies. He was given the theology. But it wasn't enough. Thomas himself needed a personal encounter with Jesus. And don't just settle for hearing about Jesus. Don't just settle for the testimonies of others and the way that Jesus has worked in their lives. But seek him. Seek him for yourself. Seek and ye shall find. Church, it's okay to say, Lord, I need you. It's okay to go before the presence of God and say, God, show yourself to me. It's okay to say, my Lord and my God, I need you. In Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The desire for me is that I will continually have a desperation for the Lord Jesus. God does a pretty good job of that in my life. He does a pretty good job of keeping me in a place to where I am desperate for him. That's fearful. Because sometimes I'm pretty thick-skulled. Sometimes there's things that come into my life that make me feel like I'm self-sufficient. But my prayer is that I would continue to have a desperation for the Lord. That there will be a continuous desperation for him. if I stand behind this pulpit, there must be a desperation for the Lord Jesus. Brother Jonathan, if you stand behind this pulpit, there must be a desperation for the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there must be a desperation for the Lord Jesus. Not to doubt Christ, but to refuse to live without seeing Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. God, I knew as I was to preach this, Lord, that this was to be simple and short and sweet to the point. And Father, this morning, that is my hope, is that this isn't packed with theology and doctrine and all of the other things as we expositorily preach through the Word of God, but this is a need of the body of God, that we would be desperate for Jesus, that we would do nothing without Him. Father, in this morning, my prayer is that one that is seeking, that one that is crying out, Lord, I just want to see you for myself. That today they would see Jesus in His fullness, that they would have a revelation of Jesus Christ, that they would believe Him, and that this morning they would say, my Lord and my God. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.